Would you turn to Hebrews chapter 11 this morning? Hebrews chapter 11. There was a man who worked for the post office whose job was to process all the mail that had illegible addresses. And one day a letter came, and it was really addressed in a shaky handwriting, and it was addressed to God. There was no actual address to it. And so the person working at the desk that day thought, well, I better open it and see what it was all about. And the letter read this: Dear God, I'm an 83-year-old widow living on a very small pension. Yesterday, someone stole my purse. It had $100 in it. And that was all the money I had until my next pension payment. Next Sunday is Christmas, and I had invited two of my friends over for dinner. Without that money, I don't have anything to buy food with, and I don't have any family to turn to, and you're my only hope. Lord, can't you please, or won't you please help me? Sincerely, Edna. The postal worker was touched, and really sweetly touched. Showed the letter to the other workers close by, and each one dug into his and her wallet, and they came up with a few dollars, and they kept coming up with a few more dollars, and by the time it had made all the rounds, they came up with $96, collected just about all of it. So they put that in an envelope, and they sent it to the woman. And the rest of the day, all the workers there, you know, the postal workers really go through it, you know, and sometimes deserve, most of the time probably not, just we're impatient people, right? Okay, maybe more than that, that's deserved. Okay, anyway, so a few days later, so they walked around with a warm glow, knowing that they had done the right thing, and she would be able to share dinner with her friends. Christmas came and went. A few days later, here comes another letter from the same elderly woman addressed to God. All the workers gathered around while the letter was opened. It read, Dear God, how can I ever thank you enough for what you did for me? Because of your gift of love, I was able to fix a really wonderful dinner for my friends. We had a very nice day, and I told my friends of your wonderful gift. By the way, Lord, there was $4 missing. I think it might have been those dirt bags at the post office. Love, Edna. Love, Edna. Let me see. All right. I won't do that other one. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. We'll just keep your finger there while I talk for a couple of moments. How many in this room, I want you to be really candid with me here for a few minutes. How many of you ever lost your keys? Oh, man. Isn't that frustrating? That's almost second to none outside of maybe losing your wallet or your purse. Right, come on, let's see the show of hands. How many lost your wallet or your purse? Oh, isn't that a test to real Christianity? Command Central is missing in action. You've got soap on a rope, but no soap. You know, I live life in a hurry. I rush in, I rush out, I grab stuff, and when I return from an appointment, I have three other things on my mind that I got to do, so I set my keys down. Only it's in a different place each time. Yikes! I hate that. Yes, I know. I have keyboards, and I have key hooks, and I've got all sorts of things like that. How about one other thing? Have you ever lost your cell phone? Oh, come on. How many of you have dropped your cell phone in the water? There's real honesty. Okay, all right. But you've lost your cell phone, and you have to call your cell phone with another phone to try to find it? I did that just the other night. The faintest signal down the hallway. So keys. Let's go back to keys. I just thought we could all relate to those. Let's go back to keys. How many? What are keys for? Give me some things. What are keys for? Unlock doors. Start cars. Such power. What else? Get in. Yeah, you can have a nice new car sitting out in the driveway. It doesn't do any good if you don't have the keys, right? Who else? Who else has keys? What are they for? Open cans. Pick teeth. Oh, yeah. All right. We won't say what else. All right. Anything else? What's that? Get into work. Get into your house. Get your mail. keys are used for a wide variety of things. And when they, anybody like me, I'm just asking for how many more relate. How many, you just have the perfect plan in mind for your keys, but if you wait too long, you have a pile of unlabeled keys? Come on, how many have a pile of unlabeled keys at your house? I don't remember what those go to. Oh, my. So I've got a new method of attack. I've got a new plan. I got myself a new vest. And this new vest has tons of pockets for my keys. Yes, I might suffer the fate of looking like a tourist all the time. But at least I know where my keys are. The only thing that let me down the other day, I had keys in every pocket, and I was at the grocery store, I had another coat on over, and I was thumbing through for the keys after I went into the store, and I couldn't find my keys, and I'm standing there, standing at my car door going, come on, where am I going, guys? And some guy goes walking by. Sorry, sir, you want to come to my church? We're all sane. And then, you know, it doesn't help when it's in none of the pockets, but it's on the key hook on your belt, right? Reach down and found it. Oh, man. Keys are crucial. Keys are absolutely dynamic and important. And we sang about the keys of the kingdom this morning. And this morning, I want to talk about Abraham, who kept keys of the covenant. Not all of it, but just some of his covenant keeping keys. This is called this morning Abraham's covenant keeping keys. Abraham, first called Abram in the scripture. You all recall that. He was called by God into an existence to go to a new homeland, a new place where God would build him a home and for him and his descendants. And Abram means, how many remember what Abram means? High father or exalted father. But he was nearly 100 years old and he didn't have any kids. So if you can get shame from a name, he had it. But he sojourned on and he believed God. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11, 8 through 19, the primary scripture as we look about Abraham. New King James is what I'm reading from this morning. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has, what is it? You think it's important to teach foundations in the church? The city which has what? Foundations. Whose builder and maker is who? He's looking for a supernatural city where God is worshipped, where God is held to, where God is on the throne, and that city has foundations. By faith, Sarah herself also conceived strength to conceive seed. She bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Say that with me. I am a stranger and pilgrim on this earth. See, the Bible says, love not the world or the things of the world. How many understand the old song is true that says, this is not my home. I'm just passing through. But as we're here, we're to bring His kingdom where? On earth as it is in heaven. Verse 14, for those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a what?
A,
how many are looking for a homeland whose builder and maker is God?
Yes.
And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now, please say with me, verse 16, but now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, "In Isaac your seed shall be called," concluding God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he'd also received him in a figurative sense. So there, in a brief synopsis, we have the story of Abraham. Was Abraham perfect?
No.
I said, was Abraham perfect? There are a couple of strange times where it might not have been great to be Abraham's wife. Ladies, can you say amen? Because at certain times, Abraham became a half-truth teller or a whole liar. And the lie was, she's my sis. I know she's hot looking. You know, you got to think of the scripture, don't you? I mean, let it come alive. I know she's nearly 100 and she's still the best looking lady in the land. Come on, ladies, say, that's me. Come on, come on. Let's see the show here. That's me. He lied about his wife, nearly had her taken by other kings, had her taken by other kings twice. He was rebuked by those kings. But you notice, after that, you've been reading it. If you're doing the daily Bible reading, how God blesses this man even afterwards. It's called a gracious God. How many are thanking God that he's graceful toward you? Full of grace. Decades go by, and the word of the Lord and the promise of God is a complete, thorough, heart-wrenching, gut-wrenching test to Abraham and Sarah. But there are five keys I want to talk about quickly this morning, just five, about keeping the covenant. Number one, the first key I want to talk about is covenant believing. Say with me, covenant believing. Let's look to the scripture. Genesis 15, verses 1 through 6. A lot of scripture this morning, but I like you to see it in the Word. After these things, this is covenant believing. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Don't be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward." But Abram said, "Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless? And the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus." Then Abram said, look, Genesis 15, verses 1 through 6. Then Abram said, "Look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir." And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "This one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir." Then he brought him, Abram, outside and said, "Now look toward heaven. Count the stars, if you're able to number them." And he said, "So shall your descendants be." How many believe you've heard a promise from God bigger than anything you can dare imagine? How many have had big promises from God? How many have ever had any promises fulfilled in your life? He gives us little promises, if you will, along the way to show us by faith he'll get us to the big promises. And what does the last phrase say? Please say verse 6 with me real loud. "And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness." The word is aman, and to believe is aman, and it means to build up, to support, to render firm or faithful, to be permanent or quiet. I stand in a permanent place of relationship with God, where when my friend tells me something, I can believe him. Now turn to each other. Look at whoever's sitting next to you. Are you sitting next to friends this morning?
Yeah.
At the very least, you're sitting next to friendly people. Okay, Ken, you have to look around. Look at Dan. Look at Dan. There it is. Okay, yeah. You're sitting next to friendly people. Now, if these friendly people tell you something, unless it's with a wink and a twinkle in their eye, do you think they're going to lie to you?
No.
Come on, I said, do you think they're going to lie to you? Now look again at that person. Say to them, "Don't you dare lie to me. Don't you dare now." Now. I see little interesting faces that took place. Okay, now reach out to each other and say, "I believe you, my friend." Friends believe each other. We believe those things that are said. And so Abram is standing in a place where his face-to-face friend has given him a promise. It's beating him up for a lot of years. But still, when God says it, I can believe it. Now, how many friends in this room, don't look at anybody now, have ever had a disagreement with your friend? Let's see the show of hands. Come on. Okay, I'd be interested in these stories. So, right now, Abram's been tested long enough. And he's got a major deal going on with God. This is a frustrated man. He's beaten up by his own name. Hey, hi, Father. How you doing, Dad? Possibly you and I have one or two frustrations with God over things we haven't seen come to pass, over promises in His Word we haven't seen yet fulfilled. Possibly an issue or two with God, just possibly. But you know the old phrase says, when God says it, that settles it. When He speaks, it's done. A personal friend says it, I don't even question it. So too with God. Maybe some in this room think, I'm too old to be of value. Anybody in this room ever think? Don't show me your hands. I'm too old to be of value. Abraham, you're going to have a kid. Excuse me, God. You need me to show you my ID, how old I am now? And what works and what doesn't? And Sarah, 90? You love that, don't you? The angel comes to the door and says, she's going to have a kid by this time next year. She's going, crazy! Don't you get it? And God says, no, no, no. Don't you? God can do anything. Your best friend is looking at you and saying, you're not too old to be of value. You're just right in my season to bring forth life. Come on, you're just right in my season to bring forth life. No matter where you go, no matter who you're with, no matter what circumstance you're in, the presence of the Lord is upon you, the anointing of Jesus is upon you, and you can impregnate with spiritual life so people see Jesus. You're not too old to be of value and to bring forth life. Let me see a show of hands. How many want to bring forth life? Circumstances look too big. Giants in the land. God says it, and that settles it. Covenant believing. Key number one. Number two, covenant contending. Number two, covenant contending. Genesis 15, verses 7 through 15. Covenant contending, Genesis 15, 7 through 15. Then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, how shall I know that I will inherit it? So he said to him, bring me a three-year-old heifer, a three-year-old female goat, a three-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. Then he brought all these to him, cut them in two down the middle, placed each piece opposite the other, but he did not cut the birds in two. Now, this sacrifice and this dedication was terrifying and somber at the same time, full of positives and full of terror, but I'm not going to go into that this morning. What a fascinating study. But look at this next phrase in verse 11. And when the, say it with me please, vultures. And when the vultures came down on the carcasses, what did Abram do? He drove them away. The word vulture here literally means a bird of prey. God told Abram that his descendants are going to go into captivity in this land for 400 years. The vultures are the Egyptian birds of prey that will try to swoop down on you, terrify you, create fear, and attempt to put you under bondage. Ever had a promise from God? Come on. Ever had something positive going on between you and God? Ever have vultures try to swoop down on it and steal your joy away? Ever just full of the Spirit? Things are going great. You know you've heard from God. Then all of a sudden you meet up with that family member who goes, "You went where this morning? How stupid of you to go to church." Try to steal that joy away. How many of you think there are sometimes vultures, demonic vultures? The enemy wants to take your blessing, take your offering. Abraham split these as an offering and a dedication to God. Sometimes those things try to get stolen away, but he had to do some work, didn't he? He had to do what the Bible says in Jude chapter 1. Jude chapter 1 verse 3. Contend earnestly. Say it with me, please. Contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered for the saints. And the Greek literally means struggle for it. Well, I'm all about grace, no works. No, you better cooperate with God and do some works that demonstrate your faith. That put some feet to your faith and grace. Abraham kept covenant and he contended for the faith. He drove them away, and again, interestingly enough, 400 years after captivity, God drove the birds of prey away from Israel and set them free. The word is nashab. Blows. The part about driving them away, Nashab, blows. He blew. He struggled. He kicked them away with effort. Abraham's faith brought the demons and the devil to blows, and they had to flee. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So stand up and drive the enemies away. Let's go on to Genesis chapter 15, now verse 12. Now when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and behold, horror and great darkness fell upon him. Then he said to Abram, "Know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, will serve them, afflict them." How many years? 400 years. "And also the nation whom they serve I will judge. Afterward, they shall come out with great possessions. Now as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried at a good old age." God gave the land to Israel as Joshua led them in. But remember what the Bible says? They had to take it little by little. You remember that? You remember why? Why? So he could teach them how to war. Because this was a new generation that had not learned the warfare that the first generation who died off in the desert had learned. Little by little, to toughen them up, give them some victory, teach them how to do warfare. Contend for the faith, one of the keys of Abraham's covenant that we need to keep, contending for the faith. God's victory is provided, but we need to earnestly contend for it. Someone say amen. Amen. Third key, covenant committing. Covenant committing. We're going to go on to verses 17 through 21 of Genesis 15. "And it came to pass, when the sun went down and it was dark, that behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a burning torch that passed between those pieces. On that same day," watch this, "the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, 'To your descendants I have given this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates, the Kenites, the Canaanites, the Kadmonites, the Hittites, Perizzites, Rephaim, Amorites, Canaanites, Girgashites, and the Jebusites, and anything else that is an ite.'" God was giving them the land. That was a little joke. Not one of you laughed, so we'll move on. Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 through 8. Genesis 17, verses 1 through 8. "Now when Abram was 99 years old," and remember, we're talking about covenant committing. Watch this. 99, "the Lord appeared to Abram and said, 'I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be what? Blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly.' Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, 'As for me, behold, my covenant is with you. You'll be a father of many nations. No longer your name called Abram, but your name shall now be Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations.'" If you're going to get beat up by a name, now it's even bigger. A father of many nations. But look what happens. "I'll make you exceedingly fruitful, make nations of you, kings shall come from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants and their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you, to your descendants after you." And I will give you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger. All the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, I will be their God. Now, I want to just take a real quick moment here. Look at this. According to some, when you take a look at the promises of God, if you can see this, this was what the border of Israel was to be in that bold outline. You ever seen Israel that big? But the promises came, and that's what it was to look like. The yellow here is what Israel is, and that's what all the earth is fighting over today. A little bit different in size. How many think there might be some promises yet in your life to be fulfilled? God said, I'll do this, this, and this for you, and we're living in this much of it. But especially, note, God said, I'll give this land forever to Israel. To Abraham, it was crucial to hear this from God. Let me just make one little small point, and I think it's pertinent to the group of people in this room. There comes a time in our lives when life is no longer about what's going to happen to me, Lord. But it shifts to, Lord, what are you going to do for those who come after me? God, I want to see a move in my family. God, I want to see a move in my children. They're not where they belong. God, I want to see a move in my grandchildren. There comes a shift in your life when you reach a certain point where it's no longer going to be, what am I going to be someday when I grow up? But oh God, I've got people coming after me. There's a whole bunch of generations. Lord God, won't you move in them? Won't you save them? Won't you sweep over them with your spirit? And you get on your knees and you cry out to God. And Abraham had covenant committing going on. And notice this whole covenant God makes with him. He says, okay, I'm going to take care of you, Abraham. You're going to go to your place in peace. But I want you to know, my friend, I'm going to reach your children. I'm going to reach your children's children after them. And I've got a land for them, and I've got a place, and I've got a provision. Come on, church, who can stand with me or raise your hand with me and say, I've got kids and grandkids that I want to see come into the kingdom of God. Not just lightly, not just playing around with their toe in the edge of the water, but jump in the whole way to go swimming in the river of God. God's got a river, oh God, moved by your spirit, and a fresh wave of your spirit, and a fresh river. Let it flow, oh God, and bring in my kids, oh God. Bring in my grandkids. Bring in their children after them. Lord, let my generations be blessed. Does that match with any of your hearts? How many want to believe that, and believe like me, that Abraham probably spent plenty of time talking to God about his generations? Bless my children, my children's children. Covenant committing. Next is covenant costing. Now that may sound in a little bit of a funny version, but how many know that keeping covenant with God costs? Only one or two of you know that. How many know that keeping covenant with God costs? Genesis 17, 9 through 14. Abraham's covenant influenced and impacted his entire family and his entire household. Every relationship he had then and in the future. Those who worked with him, those who were his own kids and offspring, an entire nation from then on. This covenant didn't just cost Dad. How many know that covenant costs? Some of our kids get a little embarrassed by some of their parents who are so radical for Jesus. They're marked by the covenant hand of God. That doesn't mean they're saved without surrender. That's not what I mean. But they can't get away. You know, as far as I wanted to, I'll take the other mat back. Thanks, Pat. As far as I wanted to, and as hard as I tried to run from God, I couldn't get away. And I remember my mother telling me stories of when I was born as a babe in a manger. when I was born in the hospital late one night, the California doctor who delivered me was drunk as a skunk, had to call him in from a party, and took me out with instruments, and I was had yellow jaundice, and I was breech and scarred all up. And Mom said, "Kev, when I first had you in my arms, I didn't know whether to feel sorry for you or love you." Thanks, Mom. That gives me good images for the rest of my days. It's such a moving story, isn't it? It's warm. Oh, God, you're pathetic, kid. But she told me, she said at that moment, "Kevin, I gave you to Jesus. I had you go back into my lineage," which I don't do much, but I've been told, "Pastor, pastor, pastor, teacher, teacher, pastor, Batman, pastor." Entertainer with his own hour-long variety TV show of pastor. But God had claims from someone who had made covenant with him. And I'm so glad they did. Anybody in this room glad for what's happened with your own heritage? Excuse me. Covenant costs. And Abraham, God said to Abraham, "As for you, you shall keep my covenant. Watch. You and your descendants after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and your descendants after you." Right now you got warm and fuzzies. God's keeping covenant. Now read out loud with me, please, the next phrase. Every male child among you shall be... Wait a minute, Dad. What did you hear from God? What kind of covenant is this? They were marked. They were marked. The uncircumcised male child who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, person shall be cut off from his people. He is broken in my covenant. Now, the issue today throughout the world, different practices, that's not an issue of godliness or not. But that was the sign of this covenant. And boy, it was a real reminder that him and his entire nation of prodigy following him was marked by the covenant. When Dad and Mom, Grandpa and Grandma walk with the anointing and presence of Jesus, how many of you know you've got kids and grandkids, whether or not they'll ever tell you, that are under the presence of conviction if they're not right with God? That's a good thing. Covenant costs. Covenant costing. And fifth, and finish, covenant calling. Covenant calling, Genesis 18, 16 through 22. A lot of scripture this morning. Watch this. "Then the men rose from there and looked toward Sodom, and Abram went with them to send them on the way. The Lord said, 'Shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing?'" Watch this. Please say it with me. Verse 18, powerful verse. "Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him." Verse 19, look at carefully before you read. Pause. Now read with me. "For I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him." The Lord said, "Because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, because their sin is very grave, I'll go down now, see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry that it's come to me. If not, I'll know." Just watch. "Then the men turned away from there and went towards Sodom." And then read it with me. Pick it up a little, if you would, Pat. The last phrase. "But Abraham still stood before the Lord." How many have your message in front of you? Where's your message? Would you read that phrase? Find that, if you would, please, you guys, out of the message. It's fantastic. It's the whole point is these guys turn to go on, and Abraham stands there. God, you ain't moving. How many feel like you've ever gotten in God's way? I know you thought in a bad way, but how about in a good way? How many have ever gotten in God's way? It is verse 22 of chapter 18, and it's where he's going to go on to Gomorrah, and this little one doesn't have the verses in it, but you'll see it, and it just says it vividly. Maybe it'll say it in exactly the same way. But Abraham stood before the Lord. Now, let me just finish with a quick thought for you, and then I'm going to close with a story. Covenant claims can really sometimes mean, stick with me, parents and grandchildren, or and grandparents in this room. And I don't mean this that you set about to do this purposely, but because of who you are in Christ, and because of your surrender to the Lord and your faith to Him, your claim in covenant can mean sometimes you are a pain to your kids and grandkids as you represent God to them. Come on, stick with me here. I said, sometimes you're a pain to your kids and grandkids as you represent God to them. Somebody shake themselves and say, boy, that's true. Have you ever been a pain to your kids and grandkids? Not, and sometimes you didn't even set out to be. But just your very presence reminds them there's God to think of. How many know that by the time you get to this stage, you've earned that right? Some kids don't hang around much because of it. But you don't alter who you are before the Lord. You be who God's called you to be. Did you find that? Does it say just the same way? What does it say? Please.
It says, and Abraham stood in God's path, blocking his way.
That's what I was after. Did you hear that? Yeah. Abraham stood in God's path, blocking his way. Now, guys, if I've ever heard of a neat definition for intercession, that's it right there. That's a fantastic intercession perspective. But you see, it's not just toward God. It's also toward your kids and grandkids. Come on, Pastor Kev, you got to let the Holy Spirit work on them. I know that. I'm not trying to get you to be boorish and you just preach to them all day long. But you need to understand and don't be afraid of the fact that the anointing of God in your life, the covenant of God in your life, means that sometimes you're going to stand in your kids and grandkids' way, blocking their path from running away from God. Amen. It's a high and holy calling, and don't be ashamed of it. Covenant costs. Wait a minute. Where did you ever learn to be like that? That's not what I taught you in my home. Well, I'm 45 now. Big deal. Okay, maybe I can't say anything, but I'm going to say it one more time. I had a talk with one of my kids kind of like that just not all that long ago. Wait a minute. Wait. Haven't heard from them since. Okay. Merry Christmas. But you see, when Jesus grips your soul, you can only give up so much. And what's got to be said, whether it's popular or not, and you can say it in all the love you can muster. Sometimes, my folks, sometimes you are the most important person on earth to say it to them. If you don't, who will? If you don't, who will? I don't want my children someday to look Jesus in the face and say, but why didn't Dan tell me this?
Right.
That's all I'm saying. Sometimes you stand in their path just because you're who you are. You represent God. Now, I love the other side of this. Please say it one more time, PK. How does that say it? I love it. I just love it.
Abraham stood in God's path, blocking his way.
Abraham stood in God's path, blocking his way. Verse 22.
Abraham confronted.
Yeah, that's right. Abraham confronted God, stood in his way, blocking his path. Now, you think, wait a minute, God's got something He wants to go do. How many of you understand God wants you to earnestly contend for the faith? God wants you to work with Him. God is looking to see what's in your heart. Do you really care? Come on, Abraham. How many things? You read through it in the message. You kind of see God smirking in this story. Remember the story where Abraham said, wait a minute. What if there are 50 righteous in that city? Come on, God. What if you find 50? And don't be that way, God. I just love it. Don't be that way, God. What are you doing? You know, the little ant said to the giant, don't step on me. Anyway, so he says, if they're 50, I'll spare them. And you could just, maybe, you know, if you let it dance, my mind kind of dances, you know. So you see God start to move around him. He says, wait. 45? He stood in God's path, blocking his way. Covenant, costing, commitment, keeping covenant with God, caring. So it's okay for 45. Wait. Don't get mad at me. What about 40? What about 30? Don't, God, don't get mad at me. What about 20? And he goes all the way down. You know, you just see the last one. Oh, don't kill me. I just have one more question. What about 10? And you kind of, it's almost like you can see God wink at the angels who are with him and smile a little and say, didn't I tell you this is what this guy was going to be like? Didn't I tell you this is what kind of heart he has? Okay, Abraham, if I find 10, I won't destroy that city. Working with God. Representing God to your kids. Representing your kids to God. Part of keeping covenant. But I'm too old to have value. It's nothing I can do. Life's gone beyond me. I'm too old. Maybe God's working with you this morning in one of these ways. Covenant believing, covenant contending, covenant committing, covenant costing, and the covenant calling to be that intercessor, that representative. I'm too old to have value. A young couple made their usual hurried pre-Christmas visit to this little farm where they dwelt with elderly parents with a small herd of horses. And the farm had been named Lone Pine Farm because up behind the house on a hill, or up behind the barn, up on a hill, there was this, that you made this way up the hill, and there's one big old pine that stood there for years and years and years and marked out special things. It was a landmark for the who was now an elderly man and his wife. They had been there all their adult lives, and they cared for horses and had all the years had taken their toil upon them. But they loved this tree and this hillside, and they had a few foals left. They sold a few of them every year, and they couldn't ride the horses anymore, and some of the horses were getting too old, but they just enjoyed being with them in the morning times. And at the end of the day, they had great contentment left over. And as they prepared to leave, this younger couple confronts the older couple and said, why don't you at least dispose of the really old one? She's no longer of any use to you. It's been years since you've had foals from her. You could cut your corners, Mom and Dad. You could save your money. Why do you keep her anyway? The old man looked down at his worn boot and scuffed at the barn floor, and his arm went around this old horse's neck, and he drew her to himself, and he rubbed her gently behind the ears, and he said, son, we keep her because of love, only because of love. Baffled, irritated, frustrated with his folks who wouldn't listen, The young folks got in their cars. They wished them a Merry Christmas, headed back toward the city, and darkness came through the valley. Because they were saying their goodbyes, no one noticed that there was insulation smoldering on the frayed wires in the old barn. Nobody saw the first spark that came to life. Nobody but the old mare. In a matter of minutes, the entire barn was literally ablaze, and hungry flames were licking at the dry hay, and full of horror and despair, the old man shouted to his wife, "Call for help!" He raced to the barn as quickly as he could hobble there to save his beloved horses. But as he got there, the flames so intently burned the place that it drove him back, and he fell at the ground and wept and wept for his friends. And by the time the fire department arrived, only smoking ruins were left, glowing embers. And the old man and his wife, they thanked those who had come as quickly as they could to their aid. And the old man turned to his wife with a dirty old bandana and wiped away her tears and took her white-haired head and laid it gently on his shoulder and quietly said, "We've lost a lot here today, but God spared our own home on this Christmas Eve. Let's go up to the old pine, climb the hill, and let's look down at our house and just thank God for His grace to us in times of despair. Let's give thanks because we've been spared." He took his elderly wife's hand by the hand, and they just began to walk up the hill slowly, kept brushing away tears. As they stepped over the little knoll at the crest of the hill, they looked up, and the most glorious, beautiful winter scene that they'd ever seen was in front of them, and glorious, brilliant stars in heavens caught up with the glittering of the snow-frosted branches of their beloved pine tree, aglow like it had heavenly candles on it. Poised at the top bough was a moon that was out that night, and it glistened like glass. Never before had they seen a Christmas tree that looked like this. And they stood there with thanksgiving, again tears in their eyes. And all of a sudden, the old man gets a cry of wonder and incredible joy as he pulls his wife, come here. There beneath the tree was their Christmas gift. Bedded down all around the old one, close to the trunk of the tree, was the entire herd of horses, completely safe. Because at the first hint of smoke, the old one had pushed ajar the door with her muzzle and led the horses through it. Slowly, with great dignity, never looking back, she led them step by step up the hill. The foals were frightened and dashed about, and the skittish yearlings looked back at the crackling, hungry flames and tucked their tails under them as they licked their lips and hopped about like rabbits. And the mares pressed uneasily against the old one as she just calmly moved up the hill to safety underneath the pine. Now, she just lay among them and gazed at the faces of those she loved. Her body was brittle with years, and the golden eyes were filled with devotion as she offered her gift, love, only because of love. Elaine, would you come, please? "I'm too old to have any value. I can't control anything. What can I do? I got kids going the wrong way and grandkids that don't even think in God's direction. And what can I do? Because of this covenant you have with God, you can stand in their way. Just be who you are, anointed by God. What can I do? I don't have any value anymore. It's too old. Stand in the place in front of God. Stop Him. Say, Lord, be gracious to them." Covenant keeping with God. Can you do that? Can we learn some lessons from Abraham that affect us today? Just some keys to keep. Amen? Amen. Let's stand. Lord, we thank You that as we stand here today, we love You and are Your covenant people. Lord, we thank You that You know how to move. Whether we're young or old makes no difference. With the presence of God in our lives, we can reach our next generations and pray that You will. Lord, we pray that through our lives comes great anointing. Anointing through the years that will change our generations. Anointing that will make a difference forever. We put our trust in You and all the people said, Amen.